Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
We're going to continue along the lines of what Pastor John's been ministering about. You know, we had the series about miracles and where Pastor John ministered along the lines of Pastor John and Michelle believe in God for their son's healing from autism. He went through that in great detail. And then going into this called Naked Faith, and that is how I say naked. Instead of the A, it is naked. I can't say it differently. It won't come out differently, all right? But Naked Faith, from the standpoint of just what it really means to believe God. Y'all can't get past the naked part, can you? Y'all are done. Might as well go home. This is it. I really can't say it. So if I start trying to say it right, it sounds even worse than naked, okay? So that's it. But we're going to talk about believing God, if you guys ever get spiritual here for a second. Get focused. Last week, if you were here last week, Pastor John talked about praying the prayer of faith. And I encourage you, if you were not able to be here last weekend, I encourage you to listen to that message, because we're going to really go in another step in regard to praying the prayer of faith today, and about what it means to really to be able to pray that prayer. And again, Pastor John went through that in great detail, and I can't recount all that. Mark 11, 22 through 24, he went through that. And it's an amazing passage of scripture that Jesus said. Jesus said that in Mark 11, 22 through 24, about speaking to this mountain. And whoever does that and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatsoever or whatever you pray for, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. When you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. That's an astounding statement. But Jesus said that. No, we didn't write that in the Bible. Jesus said that if you'll have faith like God has faith, if you'll have faith in God and the faith of God in your life, which as a believer you can do, all right, then you can pray, believe that you receive it, and it's done for you. The Bible talks about it's done for us by our Heavenly Father. It's done for us by Him. Again, it's an astounding promise. And Pastor John went through that last week. Now, what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about hope, which is intertwined with faith. Hope is an extremely important part. And sometimes we don't talk about hope as much probably as we should, because hope is an extremely important part. And again, faith and hope work hand in hand together. It's literally impossible for you really to exercise your faith or to believe God or stand in faith for something without hope. It's impossible. And if you were here when Pastor Diego Mesa ministered a few weeks ago, and again, if you weren't here when he spoke on Saturday or Sunday, and I'd encourage you to listen to both of them, because they're a little slightly different, basically the same message, but slightly different in some things. And they're online. You can watch and listen to them for free, okay? And but when he was here Saturday night, he said this statement, and I don't think he said it Sunday. He said, I don't believe that most of us don't have a faith problem. Most of us don't have a faith issue. He said, what most of us have and what most of us do is it's a hope issue. We lose our hope. And again, if you lose your hope, there's absolutely nothing for your faith to grab onto. A doctor says something. If you remember his testimony, remember what he went through about the doctors telling him, basically, you're dead. You're going to die. And you'll be dead very, very shortly, because you're not going to live very much longer. And if you remember the story, he goes in there and they're leaving that place. They're devastated, which anyone would be devastated. They're devastated. And they walk through there. He talked about how he even shoved his wife away when she tried to hug him. Do you remember that? He shoves his wife away. He's so distraught. They get in the truck. They get in their truck, and he's sitting in the back of their truck, and he's just crying and weeping, and they sat there for quite some time. And he talks about how devastating that it was. And a lot of us, we have things happen. We have things said to us, or you face obstacles in life. And what the attack is against is not your faith, because your belief system is still the same. I would submit to you that Diego Mesa's belief system about God, about healing, about all that stuff was the same as he's sitting in that truck bawling like a baby. But what had been attacked and what had been snatched and what was devastating to him was hope of something being different. Because his hope's gone. He's dead. He's dying. But if you remember the rest of the story, He talks about how he called a pastor friend of his that was aware of what was going on. And he talks about him getting his feet back up under him. And then he talks about the fight of faith that went in motion. And again, 6.5, almost 7 years later, he's still standing. And he's supposed to be dead. Okay, but hope is what was attacked. The hope, his ability, the future. Bible hope is different than how we would use hope today. A lot of times we use the word hope like it's a wish. It's a desire. It's like, oh, I hope this happens. I hope this. Oh, I'd really hope, blah, blah, blah. We have hope about things. But Bible hope is different. Bible hope is a very confident, a firm expectation, an outlook on the future, that there's good in the future. It's a positive and confident expectation of the future. And it's based upon our Heavenly Father. It's based upon Jesus. It's based upon a risen Savior. It's based upon the very nature and character of who God is. That's what Bible hope is based upon. And I want to read a scripture to you. It's Hebrews 11:1. You may be familiar with it. Hebrews 11:1. Got in a couple of translations for you. You'll see it on the screen there. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith makes us sure of what we hope for, gives us proof of what we cannot see. Some people would phrase it this way, is that what faith does, faith reaches out and grabs a hold of a hope that's based upon God, it's based upon His Word, and brings that into a present reality into our lives, because hope is always in the future. Faith is what brings into the now. So John and Michelle Nuzzo had hope of a different life for their son, did they not? And then they exercised their faith, and they brought that hope into a present reality. Does that make sense to you? That's why hope is so important. Because if you lose your hope, there's nothing for your faith to go out there and reach and to grab a hold of and to bring to pass. And so that's what we're going to talk about today and focus on today. Let me give you a few quotes real quick. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be easier. Hope is putting faith to work when doubting would be easier. There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow. And that author there, he was actually a motivational and leadership teacher way back in the 1800s, early 1900s. Hope is medicine for a soul that's sick and tired. Hope is medicine for a soul that's sick and tired. You ever felt sick and tired? Hope is that it's going to be different. Hope, Bible hope is, all right, I may be feeling this now. I may be experiencing this now. I may be having to navigate this now. But hope, Bible hope is, this is going to be different. This is going to be different in my life. It's not going to stay the same. And then we exercise our faith. We pray the prayer of faith. We believe God, and we bring that hope to pass into our life. And that's what we're going to focus on. Going to go through Romans chapter 4, a few scriptures real quick with you, just to kind of set the stage for this. This is about Abraham. This is in the Message paraphrase, Romans 4, 18 through 25. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise the dead to life, with a word make something out of nothing. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what he said, or said he would do, God would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong. And I like that. He plunged into the promise that God gave him, the promise of God's word, and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's why it is said, Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham, it's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made for us made us fit for God, made us fit for God, set us right with God. Now we're going to talk about three things. I'm going to give you three things today, three challenges in a sense today, very simple things. There are three things that every person in this room can do. But if you'll do these three things consistently, it will keep your hope strong. It'll keep your hope expectancy of a better future, expectancy in God. It'll keep your hope built up so that when you need to exercise your faith, when you need to pray and believe God, you have a hope that's founded upon the Word of God. That's something for your faith to grab a hold of, to bring into reality, into your life. And so Abraham here, and you know the story, and I know we read through that quickly, but you know, Abraham, again, he's old. Sarah's never had a child, and in the translations, again, that was a paraphrase, the Message, but you may be accustomed to hearing that. It says, against hope, Abraham believed in hope. So what that's telling you is when there was no natural hope, there was no natural reason for him to have hope. There was no natural reason to do that, because again, he's old, he's over 100. Sarah's never had a child. She's been impotent, no child her entire life, no child. She's 90, basically. How in the world are you gonna have a child? Yet they had a child. In hope, against all hope, he believed in hope. That hope was founded upon what God had told him and what God had given him. But it ends that passage of scripture, and again, in the paraphrase there, it ends it by saying, the same is for you and me. The same is said. It's not just about Abraham, it's about us. It's about you and me. We can have the same results in our life. We can have the same things take place in our life. Now, I'm sure if you're a little bit older, you are probably not believing God to give birth at 80, okay? You're probably happy that God didn't tap you on the shoulder for that, okay? But there are things in our life that come up in our life, again, that we need to be able to exercise our faith in and believe God for. And that's where hope comes in. So I'm going to give you three things, simple things that all of us can do. So let's talk about the first one. Hebrews chapter 6. Let me read a few scriptures to you. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Now that we know that we have Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through it all, weakness, testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Hebrews 10, it says, so friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. Full of belief, confident, we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keeps us going. He always keeps his word. First part of that verse, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God. Now, without hesitation, walk right up to God, right into the holy place, God's presence. First challenge for you that I want to encourage you with is, that, again, if you'll do these, and they're simple, but if you'll do these things, it'll keep your hope strong. And that is, every day, you're going to set aside some time to do just what that tells you to. You're going to walk right up into God's presence and hang out with God. Every day. And here's what I mean by that. Very, very simply. What a lot of us picture there is we picture like, oh, I've got to have a, quote, devotion. Oh, I've got to read this or I've got to do this. And we picture things. I'm talking about something very, very casual, very, very relaxed. Because if you read the words that are used there, and even though it's an awesome spiritual thing that Jesus purchased for us, it is talking about just how those paraphrases read. It's talking about, so let's do it. Let's just walk right up to God. I would submit to you that most of us as believers, we feel very unworthy when we think about that. And we've already touched on that some here at the end of worship. But we feel very unworthy a lot of times. But what this is talking about is we have Jesus who has gone before us, who purchased for you and me the right to just literally, rather than backing away from God, to literally just walk right up into God's presence and say, hey, how's it going? Most of us don't feel comfortable doing that, but you should, because it's your right as a child of God. Jesus, by his blood, and those verses say that, by the sacrifice of his body, by the blood that he shed for you, he literally purchased for you the right. He gave you the right. It's a gift that he gives you to walk right into God's presence. and to spend time with Him. And again, I'm not talking about hours. I'm talking about whether it's in the morning, evening, whatever's the best time for you. I'm talking about you literally taking a set aside time. Now, you know you can fellowship with God and you should fellowship with God all day long. But I'm not talking about what you may be doing while you're driving your car or doing other things. I'm talking about just a few minutes. And if you have to, and maybe you might have to at the beginning, you can get a timer. Get a kitchen timer. Get some type of timer. And you can set that timer, set 30 seconds on it. All right? Just put 30 seconds on that timer and say, go. Now, that's not hard, is it? That's not hard at all. And you say, well, man, I don't know what I'll say. You don't have to say anything sometimes. But if you don't know what to say, you know what? You can, again, you can just kind of picture, okay, I'm going to turn my timer. I'm going to step in there. All right, I'm here. Now, we're not going to be like Elf. I'm singing. I'm standing in the store. I'm not talking about that. Okay? You're going to step up into God's presence. And again, if you can't think of something to say, you can just simply thank God you're not going to hell. How about that? God, I thank you that I am not going to bust hell wide open. That's something worth thanking God for, isn't it? I thank you I am not going to go to hell. I thank you I am not going to shake and bake in the lake of fire. Praise God, I've been redeemed. If you can't think of anything to say, you can thank God for your salvation. But I would submit to you this, you can't hang out with God and walk into His presence and not change. You can't hang out with God and not have your hope lifted, your expectation or your outlook on life lifted. It's impossible for that to take place, for that not to take place. You hang out with Him, I guarantee you He'll always hang out with you. Always, always, always. But you've got to be willing just simply to step. Now, again, I know for some of us, we feel funny doing that. Because, again, unfortunately, sometimes church or unbiblical thinking or religious thinking actually robs us of that type of a casual. And by casual, I don't mean being complacent about God. I'm talking about you feeling comfortable, a casual relationship. You know, you have people that you have a good relationship with. At least I hope you have people in your life that you have good relationships with. You feel very comfortable in their presence. Pastor John has some of the nastiest looking gray shorts that he wears around his house all the time. And you've heard him talk about some of that stuff before, okay? One time Michelle threw him away and stuff. He had to go dig it. He dug him out of the trash. I think I got that right. Or maybe one of his brothers drug him out of the trash and he saw him on his brother and he took him back. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, nasty, gray-looking shorts and stuff. And until he's worn them about 100 years, then he feels like they're comfortable. And Pastor John has some sensory issues. They can't have any polyester or nothing in them. It's just strange, okay? But now, if you were to go over to his house, he's not going to be in those nasty gray shorts. But if I show up or Matt Gates shows up, he's in those nasty gray shorts and a T-shirt. You know why? Because he's very casual. He's relaxed around us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Most of us don't feel that way about God. We want to get religious. And unfortunately, the church sometimes trains us to be that way when everything in Scripture says the opposite. So let's do it. Let's just walk right up to God. Let's don't hesitate. Let's get in His presence. So again, I encourage you every day, if it's 30 seconds, 30 seconds. If you feel like, I'm gonna double that time. I'm gonna go a minute. All right, then set the timer for a minute. Picture yourself, okay, presence, no presence. Presence, no presence, okay. Set the timer. Do you understand? That's not hard. If you have to, lock yourself in the bathroom. Turn out the lights if you have to, okay? Whatever makes you feel comfortable. Put on worship music if you need to. And you just step in there and say, God, how's it going? I'm here. Did you know God will keep that appointment? God will keep that appointment. Years ago, I heard a lady, her name's Patsy Caminetti. Back in Bible school days, she was Patsy Bierman, and she taught some. She was single at the time, and every single guy, now I was married, my wife and I, we were in Bible school together, but every single guy, anytime she ever filled in for an instructor and stuff, they were believing God. God, I want that. Their faith, they were trying to believe God for her. Of course, one of the Caminetti brothers, some of you know the Caminettis, a pastor in Ohio, Mike, Joe Caminetti, pastors over here in the just south of Detroit. But anyway, she's married, but at the time, again, she's single. And I remember her subbing for a class. I don't even remember who she was substituting for, but I remember her talking about this. And she said, you know, I found myself, I was actually jealous about people and their relationship with God, and how they would talk about their fellowshipping with God. And I was jealous, almost resentful, about how I'd hear them talk about how they were fellowshipping with God. And she said, you know what I did? She said, I set up, and what I did, I said, you know what, God, I want this to change. And she said, I made an appointment. And what I did is I literally set it in my calendar like it was an appointment. And she set an appointment, and I think, if I remember right, this was years ago, but I remember right, I think she did it sometime around lunchtime, and she set an appointment with God, and she would drive out by herself, I think into some field somewhere. She would drive out there, get out of her car, and she would go out there. And you know what she said? She said, you know what? God kept the appointment. God showed up. God met me there. God will meet you there. I don't care where it is. If it's you locked in your bathroom in your house with the lights turned out, God will show up. God will meet you there. He'll fellowship with you. So every day, you fellowship with the creator of the universe. Every day, you just simply do that. I'm here, baby. Let's talk. I'm doing okay. You know what? You can develop a relationship with him. Again, if you struggle with what to say, just simply thank God. Take 30 seconds. Thank God. God, thank you for my family. Thank you for everything you're doing in my life. And again, I can promise you that 30 seconds will start going by so fast, it'll be a minute or two before you know it. And that minute or two will turn into a few minutes to where you'll find yourself actually looking forward to that time. But if you do that, your hope will be strong as you face challenges in life, because you're just simply taking some time and just fellowshipping with God Almighty. Let's go on to the next one here. And again, I'm going to read the very first part of Hebrews 10 before we move on. It says, so friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God. Walk right up to God. I challenge you, walk right up to God and talk with him. The next one, Hebrews chapter 6, says, when God wanted to guarantee his promises, he gave his word, a rock solid guarantee. God can't break his word. And because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. Romans 15, such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures give us hope. The scriptures do what? Give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Hebrews 6:18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. It is impossible for God to lie. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. The second challenge is every day, just like we talked about walking right up into God's presence, every day you're going to spend time, and again, I'm not talking about hours, I'm talking about a few minutes. Every day you're going to spend time in God's promises, and you're going to allow those promises to be a strong anchor for your soul. You can't hang out with God and you can't hang out with his word and not have a strong anchor for your soul. The word of God always produces fruit in your life. Always, always, always. And there's a lot of things that you can do, and I don't have time. There's all kinds of different ways you could do that. Even in the bookstore, when you first walk into the bookstore, there's all kinds of little pamphlets in there that have all kinds of different scriptures about different topics and stuff like that. That can be a good place for you to start if you struggle. I'm not talking about getting out your little book and having to read, again, a devotion. I'm not talking about a devotion. I'm talking about you getting into the promises. The Bible refers to the promises of God's word as precious promises. You allowing those precious promises to be an anchor to your soul. They're a strong anchor for the hope that was in us. That way, and the more I feed upon those, you know what rises up? My hope rises. It's gonna be different. My life can be different. I don't have to stay the same. These circumstances, doesn't matter whether it's sickness or whatever it may be. Again, if you remember Diego Mesa's testimony and stuff, once he got back up on his feet and stuff, he's like, bless God, this is gonna change. I'm gonna hold fast to the hope that's within me. The word of God became a strong anchor for his soul. And if you remember, and on Sunday morning, he forgot it Saturday night, but if you were on Sunday morning, he brought the little book that he had, and where he had all kinds of things written. That was a book that was published by someone, but he had notes written all through that thing. And the reason I know that, he briefly showed it, but it was falling apart. And at the end of the service, I came up, because I closed the service, you know, and his stuff was all still here. So I took it back to the room back here for him. And he had that book sitting here, and it was still open. It was open on top of his Bible. I felt like I was touching something from a museum. Those pages were so fragile. And you could tell how many times he had been through that. He did that for years, where he went through those precious promises that were a strong anchor for his soul. That as he stood in faith, he's got an anchor. It's gonna stink and be different. I'm not gonna die. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. All the different things that he stood on. He had all kinds of promises in there. And again, that thing was so fragile because he had been through it so many times. I was uncomfortable moving. I'm like, good, I'm going to destroy the man's antique piece here. It was that fragile for me simply just to close up because pages were falling out of the thing, all kinds of things, because he had flipped through it. You could tell so many times. There's all kinds of brochures. There's all kinds of resources there. And again, the brochures and stuff, those are all free. There's even things online that you can track down that can help you if you struggle sometimes with some of that. But I'm not talking about hours. Now, I'll submit to you this. Just like with you taking the opportunity to step into God's presence, how that will evolve in your life, the same will be true about spending time with the precious promises of God's Word and allowing them to be an anchor for your soul. Again, if you have to, set the timer. Set it for a minute or two. Okay, God, I'm going to take 2 minutes here. I'm going to set the timer. I'm going to take 2 minutes. I'm going to read this out of Psalms or Proverbs or out of one of the New Testament epistles or whatever. I'm going to read this order. Or maybe you picked up one of those brochures out there. And again, they're free. And you're reading about maybe about health and wholeness. Maybe you're reading about healing. Maybe you're reading about God's blessing on your life. Whatever it may be, I'm going to take 2 minutes right now. I'm going to set the timer. Go. And you read those things and you begin to mull those things over in your heart. And what will happen is you'll progress in that. You'll grow in your ability to connect with that because it becomes a habit in your life, and you're going to find something out. Again, you can't hang out with God's Word and it not impact your life. And they become an anchor to your soul, and what you'll find is something will happen. And one of those verses that you've meditated on, that you've gone over, and so if you know what the Holy Spirit will do, he'll bring that word back to your remembrance. You go, hey, wait a minute. That's not right. I don't have to do that, or I don't have to let this happen. And it comes rising up in your heart. You may not get it exactly right. You may not even quote it exactly right. Did you know even if you misquote a verse, God will still honor it? You can butcher the fire out of that thing and God will still keep it. It's church sometimes, unfortunately, and religious thinking, unbiblical thinking, that tells us we picture God as some angry judge up there that unless you get it right, bless God, if you don't get it right, I'm not doing nothing. And you start saying something and you're like, oh man, I can't quote it exactly right. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You just speak that word out. You may combine 3 or 4 verses and go, phew. It doesn't matter. God will honor his word every single time. Every single time God will honor his word. Every time he'll honor his word. Isaiah tells us, it says, just like the water and the rain and the snow comes down and accomplishes what it's supposed to do on the earth, so my word is exactly the same. It always accomplishes what I have sent it out to do. Always. That's a serious butcher and paraphrase of Isaiah 55. God's word always accomplishes what it is sent forth to do. Always, always, always. So I'm going to set a timer. And I'm going to spend 1 minute thanking God. Thank God I'm not going to go to hell. Then I'm going to set a timer for a couple minutes and I'm going to meditate upon the promises of God, the precious promises of the Word of God. And those things are going to be a strong anchor for my soul. Strong anchor for my soul. Let's go to the last one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. And that's Old Testament. That's really the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. We refer to him as a minor prophet because his book is short, not because his ministry was minor, but because it was short. It's a short little book, just a few chapters. And he's referring to Israel. God's referring to Israel. Israel was away from God and basically refused to repent and return to God. But God's saying, you know what? I don't change. It's because I don't change. That's why you're not consumed yet. And God was trying to get them to return. He's trying to get them to repent. James 1, 16 and 17. Don't be fooled, my dear friends. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He is always the same and never makes dark shadows by changing. You know what that verse is telling you? It's telling you that, and you may be familiar with that, maybe reading from a King James, New King James-ish type of a feel. It says, where there is no shadow of turning. It's talking about our Heavenly Father. There's no shadows in Him. So now I'm completely surrounded by this light, so the only shadow is right down there. Okay, but so you can't see it really. But you know what it's like. You're outside, and you have shadow that's cast somewhere, and you turn. What happens? The shadow turns, doesn't it? It moves. Do you know that verse is telling you that with God, He is 100% light. He never changes. It's impossible for Him to lie, and He doesn't cast a shadow. So you're not going to catch Him turning. You know, I used to do this. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to do this. That's why you can trust 100% all the time in God's promises, in His Word. You can trust in the unchangeableness of God Almighty, which that's the last one. Every day, you're going to grow in your ability and you're going to trust in the unchangeableness of God. God never changes. That's why we can build our life upon Him. Matthew talks about Jesus relays the story of the people that built their house, one on rock and one on the sand. And you know the story if you're familiar with that story. The parable there, Jesus said, the storms of life, did the storms come to both houses? The storms came to both houses, yes. Came to both houses. But one stood, one didn't. The one that stood was one that was based upon a foundation. It had a foundation. It's not built on the sand. You know why? Because sand shifts. It moves. God never moves. We just read it in James. No shadow of turning. He's not shifting from side to side. It's a solid foundation that I can build my life on. Never, ever changes whatsoever. So I can trust in His unchangeableness. I can trust that He's going to be the same. 100 years from now, He's the same. 50 years ago, He's the same. He calls Himself the I Am. In other words, I'm always the same. It's always I Am to me. It's always present to Him, all right? Give me another verse. Numbers 23, God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? Hebrews 6:18. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. It is what? Impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Can have great confidence as we hold to the hope because it's impossible for God to lie. He doesn't change. So I'm going to spend time in God's presence. I'm going to walk right up to Him, as the message says. I'm going to hang out with God, which will build my hope and allow my hope to continue to stay strong. I'm going to spend time in the precious promises of the Word of God. And again, the last one is I'm going to trust in the unchangeableness of God. God never changes. I may not understand what's going on around me. It may not make sense to me. I have no idea why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. But one thing I know for sure is God hasn't changed. He's not shooting at me. He's not my enemy. He's not the one that's after me. I can rest and trust in His unchangeableness. Now, if you go back to the first one here real quick where we're talking about walking into God's presence, I just want to encourage you with something. It's important that you understand that so many of us, again, we deal with an unworthiness when it comes to walking into God, just walking right up to Him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this. It says, for God made Jesus, Him, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, yet God made Him to be sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him or in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus to be sin for me so that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, that's an awesome verse, but so many of us really fail to understand what that verse is talking about. A long time ago, and I tend to illustrate it with like this way. A long time ago, I was teaching a class one time, and I was writing on a chalkboard. That's how long ago it was. I'm writing on a chalkboard. I'm writing this, and I'm actually writing out 2 Corinthians 5:21. And as I'm writing out this verse, in my heart and in my head, I have this question get asked to me as I'm writing it. For God made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I got asked a question as I'm writing that out. It says, whose righteousness is that talking about? God made Jesus to be sin for me so that I might be made the righteousness of God. It's not a trick question, which God. So whose righteousness is that talking about? It's talking about God's righteousness, correct? God's righteousness. Again, this is crazy. This is going to warp your head just a little bit. Let me ask you a question. How righteous, because that's the next question I got asked as I'm writing this verse out. Well, how righteous is God? You can't answer that question, can you? He is righteousness. He's complete righteousness. But again, there's almost no way for us in our English terms and language to actually articulate that. Well, he is righteousness. Then I got asked another question. Well, then how righteous does that make you? That's where it gets you right there. Listen to the verse. I did not write this verse. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Again, you can look it up. I didn't put it in there as a slide, but God made Jesus, God made him to be sin for us, for me, for you, who knew no sin. Jesus did not know sin. God literally placed the sin of all mankind on Jesus. God did that. That's a gift for you and me. He put it on Jesus so that I might be made, so that we might be made the righteousness of who? God in him. So in Christ Jesus, whose righteousness is that talking about? God's righteousness. How righteous is God? He is righteousness. He is complete and total righteousness. He's it. There's no way to answer the question. Well, then how righteous are you? And that's where it gets you. You know why it gets you? Because your mind and your human grasp, your ability to grasp that starts short-circuiting. You know why? Because you start thinking about all the stuff you've done. You know what you did. You know what you did driving here. You know yesterday. You know those things get you. And the good news of the gospel is Jesus completely removed those things. And now this is where unbiblical thinking, and sometimes the church hasn't helped us at all, gets us, because you'll hear people, ministers even use it sometimes. Well, brothers and sisters, we know all our righteousness is as a filthy rags before God. None of us are clean before God. We have no right to stand before God. All our righteousness are like filthy rags. That's from Isaiah 46, okay? Let me ask you again. I'll go back to 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, so that we may be made the righteousness of who? God in Christ Jesus. Isaiah is talking about our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is talking about God's righteousness. Whose righteousness have you been made? God's righteousness. And I know it warps your head, but I promise you, if you'll spend some time reading and meditating on that scripture, going back over that scripture, it'll change your perception of God and your ability, your freedom to walk right up to him. Because you'll recognize God actually gave this to me. I actually really have the right. In fact, all those verses we read out of Hebrews, they all talk about that. Because of Jesus, our high priest who's gone before us, let's walk right up to him. His blood gives me access to God. So I want to encourage you this morning. And again, I know that messes with your head. It's hard to believe that. But when God sees you, he sees the righteousness of Jesus himself. He sees Jesus in a sense. And I know you've heard that phrase, and I know it's a little cliche sometimes. But literally, through the work of redemption, whose righteousness am I standing on? I'm not standing in my own. Because Isaiah is exactly right. My righteousness before God is as a filthy rag. I can't stand before God. There's nothing holy about me. There's nothing right about me. I am just a human being that has no right to go before God whatsoever. If I was to walk before a holy God, I would be consumed by his holiness. Isn't that true? All that is true. Praise God for Jesus. Jesus gave me the right by his blood to do this. Hey, how's it going? Now, I know that messes with you, but if you'll really allow that scripture, which again, what are we going to do? We're going to hang out with God every day. Even if it's just a minute, we're going to worship him and fellowship with him just today. And we're going to spend time in his precious promises. If you struggle with that concept, I encourage you. You can use 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is just above it. We all know how to count, right? 17, 21, 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus if you're a child of God. Jesus, by his blood, makes you new, which gives you the right, the ability to stand in his presence, free from guilt, free from shame, without having any anxiety or fear, without feeling guilt that I can stand before him in fellowship with him. The Bible also tells us, if I have sinned, I can confess that sin. And it tells me in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And that context of that is anything that would hinder my ability to walk in that right standing that Jesus has provided me, he cleanses me from that. So I can still have boldness and confidence. You know why? Because we know we miss it. Isn't that true? We know we miss it. But when we know we miss it, in our hearts convict us, our hearts condemn us. And what does the Bible says? Actually, it actually tells you that when you feel that thing, that you're supposed to come to him and say, God, I just blew it. Forgive me in Jesus' name. 1 John 1:9 says, you do forgive me and you do cleanse me. That's why I can stand here right now completely free from guilt, free from fear, free from feeling like I don't belong here, because I belong in your presence. You know why? Because I'm your child. You actually belong in his presence. He purchased that for you. So let me review. Let me go through a couple things real quick. We'll close. A quote for you. Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and courage to see that they do not remain the way they are. Anger at the way things are and courage to see that they do not remain the way that they are. Hebrews 6, we'll end with this passage of scripture. Hebrews 6, 9 through 12. I'm sure that that won't happen to you, friends. And it's referring to what's above it about people shrinking back. It says, I have better things in mind for you, salvation things. God doesn't miss anything. He knows perfectly well all the love you've shown to him by helping needy Christians and that you keep at it. And now I want each of you to extend the same intensity toward a full-bodied hope and keep at it till the finish. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stayed the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. They get what? They get everything promised to them. Hope has two daughters, anger and courage. Anger at the way things are. Again, I've already referenced this, but if you reference Pastor Diego Mesa and his testimony and stuff, when he got back on his feet, if you remember him talking about it, he was ticked off. Bless God, this is going to change. What's going on in your life that ticks you off? I'm not talking about somebody. Don't look next to you or nothing. I'm talking about what circumstances, what has the enemy plagued you with? What's going on in your life that just flat, it should tick you off? It's an anger. This is not supposed to be, as a child of God, this is not supposed to be. And then it's the courage to receive all that's promised, which is what happens here. Imitate those. One translation of that talks about us imitating those through whom faith and patience receive the promises of God. Imitate those who through faith and patience receive the promises of God. I could phrase it this way. You should imitate John and Michelle Nuzzo, who through faith in God and through patience received all the promises of God for their son Ryan. Is that not true? You should imitate that. You should imitate that because they're no different than you. Pastor John says that all the time. They're just people just like you are. Diego Mesa, who shoved his wife away when he's first diagnosed, he's devastated. He's sitting in the truck crying, devastated by that, is alive today. Diego Mesa, you should imitate that faith because through faith and patience, what happened? That man received the promises of God for his life. You know, it ticked him off. John and Michelle Nuzzo were devastated when Ryan quit developing. Here he is, 18 months old, just stops. Devastated. Devastated by that. And if you caught this, I think it was last week he mentioned this, and it's easy to miss that. But he didn't go straight to go. They didn't immediately go to get him prayed for. He talks about, he refers to how they spent some time in God's promises. I submit to you that what was happening there was not just building up their faith, because their faith, their belief system was still the same. But what was being built up was also their hope of a better tomorrow, their hope that it's going to be different, their hope our son's going to be normal, their hope that he's going to do this and he's going to do all the things that he's read to us. In fact, I heard him reference the other day, and I think he even did it in a message one time, but I know he's done it, even with their two daughters who were younger, who didn't really even always grasp all that was going on. Alexa wouldn't even have been born, who didn't even grasp what was taking place there. They went through the confession sheet that they had. And their daughters, Sienna and Alexa, they were amazed. They were like, every single thing that's written on this sheet is exactly what Ryan is like today. Every single thing. That's out of his own daughter's mouth. They're like, this is incredible if you think about it. All these things are true. You need to imitate that faith through John and Michelle Nuzzo because of the promises of God, the hope that was within them, which is a strong and anchor for their souls. Used their faith, and they reached out there and they grabbed hold of that hope. Bless God, this will not stay the same. This will be different. What's going on in your life that you would say, bless God, this should be different? This will not stay the same. You should imitate their faith, who through faith and patience inherited all those promises. It's incredible. Diego Mason, there's others. There's people in this room right now who should be dead. Did you know that? In this room right now who should be dead, who did the exact same thing. And I can't see all y'all's faces real good, but if I could, I could probably point out some of them that are in here right now that could look you square in the eyes and say, I did that exact same thing. I should be dead. I should be in the ground dead today. I should not be in this room. There's people in this room right now that have that testimony. And through faith in the promises of God and through patience, they inherited all that God has for them. That's what hope does for you. Because without hope, your faith has nothing to grab a hold of. That hope is stirred up by the Word of God. That hope is stirred up by spending time in God's presence and trusting in His unchangeable. God, you don't change. Not one single word you spoke and failed to come to pass. You don't change. You're the same. It's impossible for you to lie. If you did it for John and Michelle Nuzzo, if you did it for Diego Mesa, you do it for me. It's the same. The same promises are for me. The same promises are for me. And through faith and patience, you can inherit those promises. You can have those things in your life. Doesn't matter whether you spill, let me get it right. I was trying to say feel and I don't know what else. Spill. Doesn't matter if you spill things. It doesn't matter whether you feel spiritual or not. Both of them, John Nuzzo and Diego Mesa, both stood right here and told you there were countless days where nothing felt spiritual. Where they're standing there, and I could just picture, and again, especially after moving that book, as fragile as that book was, I could picture Diego Mesa, I could picture him standing, and I could picture him reading those things where it's week, day after day after day, nothing. And he's holding fast to those promises where nothing felt spiritual to him, yet they inherited all that God had for him. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Father God, for every person in this room that as we hold fast to the precious promises of your word, and Father, hope is stirred up within our hearts and our minds. I thank you so much, oh God, for those precious promises. I thank you that as we spend time in your presence, we spend time with your promises and we trust in your unchangeableness, oh God. I thank you for confirming your word in our lives. I bless you for it in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Keep your head bowed, eyes closed just for a moment. Just for a moment. I want to make sure before we leave that everybody here knows Jesus. You know, you've heard talk a lot about God's presence and how much God loves you and cares for you. But I want to encourage you this morning. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand in your relationship with God, you're uncertain about where you stand, I want to encourage you with this. Please don't leave. Did you know you can leave here today with a confidence knowing that you're right with Him? You can leave here with a confidence knowing where you stand with God. I really encourage you. If you're uncertain, maybe you'd say, you know what, Pastor Steve? I know I've never asked Jesus to be my Savior, my Lord. Or maybe you'd say, you know what? I've kind of just walked away. I've grown complacent. I'm not sure where I stand in my relationship with Him today. Either one of those things, I want to encourage you, don't leave without knowing. If you're uncertain, please don't leave without knowing. Very simple. I'm going to pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come forward, any of those things. And I'm not going to drag this out, all right? I encourage you. If that's you today, again, we're going to pray for you right where you're seated. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody moving around just for a second here. If that's you, you want me to pray for you, just very quickly, raise your hand right where you're seated. All across this. Thank you so much. I saw him back there. Just leave it up long enough so I can see it. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you so much. I see those right back there. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else? Very quickly, I see your hand right over here. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you. Right up there in the risers. I see you way up there. Anybody else want to join these? Quite a few hands went up. Anybody else want to join these that prayed? Thank you so much. I see you. You can put your hand back down. Say, Pastor Steve, please include me. Again, I'm not going to drag this out. I'm going to look one more time. All right. Anybody else want to join these that raised their hand? Anybody else? Say, include me in that prayer. All right, let's all repeat this prayer out loud together with those that raised their hand. And if you didn't raise your hand, you can still repeat this prayer. God will still meet you right there you're at. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth. You died for me, was buried, raised from the dead for me. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart and the door of my life, and I ask you now to come into my life, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. I receive that forgiveness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.